when he would come, what he was going to be like, what it was going to be about. What is the Messiah? That means the anointed one, the anointed one. And we showed how with the coming of Jesus that first night on Christmas night, the mystery began to be fulfilled or to be revealed in its beautiful fulfillment. God, on that Christmas night, began to unravel that mystery that had been for ages, ages and ages. The shroud of mystery was rolled back more at the cross when Jesus paid the price of our sin. There the full love of Christ and of God was revealed to mankind. But there still is some mystery. How many of you know that there's still a little mystery in life? There's some things we don't really understand. It just is. But there's a little verse in Revelation, chapter 10, verse 7, in fact. And there's an angel speaking, and he says this: "There will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." At that point, all the mystery of God will be revealed in the glory of Christ. Amen. There won't be any more mystery after that, when Jesus is revealed in his completeness. We're going to start with one verse today, Colossians 1 verse 27. Colossians 1 27. We're going to be hanging out on this verse for a couple of weeks. It says, "To them," and by them he means his saints, which is all of us. If we are in Christ, we are his saints. It's not just a few people who are saints. We're all his saints. "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, for the next couple of weeks, as we get closer to Christmas, we're going to be exploring some of the God-ordained gifts that Paul's talking about when he says the riches of the glory. The riches of the glory are the amazing benefits that are ours as a result of Christ coming to the world, of his establishing a relationship with us. Those are the amazing benefits. The ultimate Christmas gifts, right? That were birthed into the world that at the same time that Jesus, the little baby, was born. The riches of Christ that are God's personal Christmas presents to you and I, to us. Now this week, the benefit we're going to talk about was first predicted by Isaiah 700 years earlier when he wrote in chapter 53, verse 5, which is a marvelous chapter about Christ. And he wrote in that chapter, he said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions," speaking of Jesus. "He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment of our that brought us peace, the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Now, on the very night that Jesus was born, there was an angelic choir that showed up to some shepherds out on a hillside, and they had this to say about peace. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, "And in the same region there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Now, among those riches of the glory that we just talked about is peace. Peace that is available to you and I. Last week we talked about love having a name. This week, it's peace. Peace also has a name. The Prince of Peace, Jesus. Now we might ask about peace. We might ask ourselves, where is this peace? Where is this alleged peace that the angels were declaring? Where is that? After all, certainly don't see much peace going on in the world, do we? Now if we were going to look at some stats about that peace, we'd see a pretty grim picture. Here's some interesting ideas, some facts that the Society of International Law in London, they did a lot of research, and this is what they found. They said that in the last 4,000 years of recorded history, there have been only 268 years of peace in the world, in spite of all those good treaties that people have tried to make. And in the past three centuries, 286 wars were fought on the continent of Europe alone. Can you imagine? There's not much peace out there, is there? Now in our own nation, we see turmoil, we see strife, we see murder, we see mayhem, all seemingly on the rise. Weekly, if not daily, we hear about senseless, cruel acts carried out by those who are enemies of peace. Enemies of peace. Peace, indeed, as it pertains to society, is something that seems to be very elusive, almost non-existent. But let's take another look at what the angels said that night. What did they say? What they said was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the question arises, with whom then is God pleased? Who is he pleased with? And who is eligible to get that peace? What is the nature of the peace that they're talking about? What is the nature? Well, the answer is, of course, that he's pleased with those who have embraced his son Jesus as their Savior and Lord. That's who he's pleased with. So those people, us, we are the eligible recipients of God's peace. True biblical peace then is an inner benefit. It's an inner benefit. One of the riches of the glory that Paul was talking about in that verse in Colossians. That peace only comes from knowing and having a complete assurance in your life that your life, your soul, your past, your present, and your eternity are all in the hands of God. That's where that peace comes from. The Jesus that came to earth at Christmas night is the only source of all true peace. Peace has a name. The name is Jesus Christ. Now the Word of God describes peace in several different ways. First of all, the Bible teaches us that we now have peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, because of Jesus, there's now no enmity, no barrier of sin that separates us from God. We have peace with God. Secondly, we have peace of a quiet conscience. Peace of a quiet conscience. Romans 8:34 says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's praying for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? None of that. None of that. Amen? Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? No condemnation. It means that our conscience can instruct us, and the devil can accuse us, but neither of those has any power to condemn us. Amen? In Christ, we have the peace of a quiet conscience. Peace of a quiet conscience. The next peace we have is a peace of a restful heart and mind. A restful heart and mind. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, did you get that part about transcending our understanding, right? The peace we experience in Christ is something that makes no sense to the casual observer. People watching us, they can't understand why we could have peace. Because in a natural instinct, we would be expected to be anything but peaceful because of some circumstance, right? When we're given that terrible diagnosis, we get a tragic phone call. Whatever the circumstances are that should bring anxiety according to the world standards, the peace beyond our comprehension is there for us to tap into. Amen? Amen. Let's read that again in the message, that Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Here's what Eugene Peterson says about that. Here's his translation. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. He's got a nice little definition for biblical peace in there, doesn't he? This is what he said. Let's read his definition again. I think it's pretty good. And it says, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Will come and settle you down. That's what biblical peace is. And that's what the angels were talking about on that Christmas night. They knew that the world was still going to be full of war and strife to the end. And there's more to come. But the peace we have is peace inside. Now the question turns to each of us. Have I tapped into that peace? Have we tapped into that peace? Have we personally come to know and love the source of that peace, which is what? Jesus. Amen? Now, some might think the peace of Christ that we're talking about is just a delusion that everything's okay. But it's not. The peace of Christ is not just a delusion that we hold on to that makes everything seem just wonderful, peachy. But what it is the absolute knowledge and assurance that Jesus has us in the palm of his hand. Now when the seas roar around us, because peace has a name, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, we have an anchor of peace that holds us firmly in his grasp. Can you picture in your mind a great ship on a stormy sea, and the anchor is holding, and though the sea is churning around, all around, the ship is held firm by a solid anchor. There's an old-time preacher named Charles Wesley, and he wrote a little poem to describe peace, the peace of Christ. And he said, I rest beneath the almighty shade, my griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, wilt keep me still in perfect peace. Now I'm going to ask Pastor Cheryl to come, and she's going to continue to unpack this idea of biblical peace.
So, how many used to do this in the 60s or 70s? Anybody? No? Come on. What did that mean? Peace, baby. Peace, 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 brother. Peace, peace. So do you think we're still supposed to go around giving people the peace symbol? Yeah. Not so much maybe with the two fingers, but with our lives raised. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and the daughters of God. The Message version says, you are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. You're blessed if you can do that. That's when you discover who you really are and you discover your place in God's family. You are a peacemaker. Think about it. When's the last time that you intentionally broke up a fight? Parents, you probably did that a lot. This morning, maybe, in the car. Knock it off. Oh, you're peacemakers. But how about being a peacemaker by not even starting the argument? That's a little harder. Biting your tongue, okay? Don't say it. Don't do it. Don't. Avoid it. Be a peacemaker. You can do this. We can do this. Jesus is our peace. Peace has a name, and it's Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you even a little bit more about peace having a purpose in our lives and how peace is produced. Are you producing peace? The Lord said it's part of being in the vine. It's part of being connected with Him. It's a product of being one with Him. It's what is produced by union with Him. It's the fruit of a life lived with the Holy Spirit of God. So I ask you, in this life, if we have peace, will we have rest for our souls? That would be it most definitely. We will have rest for our souls. Will we have calm in the midst of a storm if we have peace? Okay. Will we have that assurance? It is well with my soul. Okay. There's a purpose for peace. But I want to take it even a little bit farther because I think it's not just for us to have this sense, but again, it's to be peace. Makers, making peace in the places that we go, in our families, in the workplace. How is this even possible? Jesus said He would give it to us. He said this to His disciples when He was getting ready to go to the cross. He spoke in John 14 and He said, "Peace I leave you. My perfect peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let," say let, "do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and give you strength in every challenge." Okay, what was that little word again? What was that little word? Let. Do you know that we have a choice? And we get revelation, we learn these things, we study these things, and it seems like then we get it a little more the next time, and then a little more the next time. And I'll tell you, I learned that my little grandson, 3 years old, who lives with us, if I'm not careful, I can let his mood get me in a tizzy. I can let him all of a sudden take over, and then grandma's voice is raising, and then I'm getting in a tizzy and all frustrated. Why would I let a little 3-year old do that to me? What is wrong with that picture? And I realize that I don't have to let that happen. I can choose to stay calm. I can choose to stay in control and not let myself be in a tizzy, get upset, get riled up, get frustrated, get impatient. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But how often do we let our circumstances bring on fret? Psalms 37 says, "Do not fret, do not fret, do not fret." 3 times at least in that passage it says that. We let ourselves worry about tomorrow. We let ourselves worry about the past that we can't change. Okay? It's a choice that we make to let or not. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Jesus offers us amazing resources, amazing fruit, amazing weapons for doing life. Peace is our shoes. God has given us a mighty armor. He talks about this in Ephesians 6. He describes it as if we were a soldier, and he's given us the pieces of armor so that we are able to do life. Not fight people, but principalities and powers that come against us, spirits that come against us. We have mighty armor that he has given us to put on. Talks about shoes in verse 15 of chapter 6. Having strapped your feet with the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy firm-footed, being stable, being ready. And this is produced by the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, these are our shoes. We've talked about going barefoot and how far would we get, climbing a mountain, going over hot pavement, going through rugged terrain. We wouldn't get very far if we didn't have the proper foot covering. In life, your foot covering is the peace of Christ, the peace of the truth, the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell me you're getting it. Okay, we need a little nodding. Need a little nodding. Where's my cheerleaders? Okay, all right. Okay, good, good. Okay, you guys, peace has a purpose. It's not just about, it's that we have the authority to stomp out chaos. Okay? God has given us the authority. Okay? The enemy doesn't get to come in like a little three-year-old and determine our mood for that day. Okay? That phone call doesn't get to take that peace from me. No way. We stand in the peace that passes understanding. Okay, I'm going to make you march with me. You guys start marching in your boots of peace. All right. You got to use them. You got to wear them. The kingdom of God, the word talks about in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is his reign and his rule in my life. Kingdom is authority. Okay? Do we not want his authority in our life? Do we want him to be reigning in our life or not? Let me see a hand. Anybody in the house, come on. Guys, we've got to have him. And he says that when he reigns, when God reigns, the order of the day is redeeming justice, it is true peace, and it is joy made possible by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness. That's right standing with him and right standing with each other. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that is why the enemy goes overboard, overtime, trying to take my peace, your joy. Because he knows my peace is power, my joy, his joy is my strength. Do you have it? How are you right now? Think about your present circumstances, your job, your relationships, your health, your finances. How are you doing? Has the enemy gotten you? Has he come to steal? Yes. Has he come to kill and destroy? Absolutely. Psalms 34 says, turn your back on sin. Do something good. Embrace peace. Do not let it get away. I had a flashback. I'm thinking of my little three-year-old again. And you're in traffic. You're in a crowded mall. I hold on to that little hand and I do not let it get away. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, he just said, do not let peace get away. When you start feeling agitated, when you start feeling tension coming, when you start feeling the blood pressure going up, your peace is getting away. And peace is power, and it has purpose in your life. We can't do this life without the peace of Christ ruling and reigning in our life. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I want you to say, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I'm in hot pursuit. Okay, now your mission might be getting that last Christmas present. Maybe it's the first Christmas present. I don't know. I haven't done any shopping, so whatever. Okay, so when you go, you're going to be on hot pursuit. You've got a list. You've got a purpose and a plan. Okay, and you're in hot pursuit. Yes? When's the last time we stopped and we were in hot pursuit for peace? Can you remember where you had it and you left it and you lost it? Can you remember that conversation? Can you remember that incident? Can you remember when Satan started coming and saying, hey, aren't you going to worry about tomorrow? Hey, what about your finances? How are you going to pay your bills? Aren't you feeling guilty about what you did? Look at what happened. When he starts to come and take away your peace, you better hang on to it. Okay, and be in hot pursuit to get it back if you let go. Think about it. And this did happen too. You guys are getting bonuses today, honey. I know it's supposed to be 10 minutes, but whatever. Okay. Just saying. Okay. I remember when we took our four kids to Disneyland. True story. And let's see. Jesse was probably 2. That would have made Nate about 14. Okay. We lost one of our children. I just won't tell you which one. I mean, you just turn, and they're gone in Disneyland. Your heart's like, oh my goodness. I mean, this was a few years ago, and maybe wasn't, the world wasn't what it was that many years ago, but still, you're nervous. You're like, where on earth? Well, good news, we looked, we were in hot pursuit, we found him, her, whatever, I didn't give it away. just say. But think of it like that. I don't want you to sleep at night. If you don't have peace right now, you need to be in hot pursuit. I studied this for 6 months because I didn't have it. And I want everything that God said, you can have it. But you got to look for it. You got to seek it. You got to pursue it. You got to go after it. And when you get it, you hang on to it and you do not let it go because it is power in your life. Period. End of sentence. Maintain it. Maintain it. Be purposeful. Be a steady Eddie. I'm telling you, I'm not letting that 3-year-old, I'm not letting that phone call, I'm not letting my checkbook, I'm not letting anything take Jesus Christ's gift to me. This is one time when you can hoard the gift. You can say, this is mine. You can't have my peace. I'm not giving it away to nobody. How about in traffic? How many give your peace away in traffic? That wasn't in my notes either, so somebody definitely needed to hear that. You're giving it to that little lady behind you that's going, like, on your bumper, or that little man in front of you. Why am I saying little man? It could be a big man. Big man in front of you that's going so slow, or the guy that's tailgating you, or the someone that didn't put their blinker on, and all of a sudden, bye-bye goes your peace. You gave your peace away over traffic? For real. For real. Guys, come on. Don't let your hearts be troubled means don't let your hearts be troubled. It's really not rocket science. It really isn't. It's not hard. Be mindful of the ways that Satan attempts to steal your peace. The thief comes. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. That's what John 10:10 says, my life verse. But God, because of Jesus Christ, came to give me life abundant to the full, overflowing. That's what I want. Don't give it away. Don't let your hearts be troubled. We have a choice. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Hebrews 12:14. Work at living in peace. Work. 4-letter word. We probably don't like it, but you're going to have to work at it. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. And that is made possible by Jesus Christ. Holy is to be set apart. Okay? This is a holy table. It's set apart for God's use. Okay? I'm not going to come in and abuse this. This is set apart for the Lord's use. I am set apart. You are set apart. We're to be holy, set apart for Jesus Christ to use, to be a holy people. Without that, we will not see the Lord. Guard it. How many put locks on your doors? Okay, there's a couple we can rob because they don't. Okay, now we know. Ooh, that was a trick question. Okay, so we lived in the country for 30 years, dead-end roads both the times. I didn't even have a key to my front door. I never locked my house, never. Never. I never locked my car. This whole living in town, we have to lock the office, we lock the house, and I just go, I'm like so tired of having to unlock and lock, unlock and lock. I'm like, for real? Well, we live in the city now. Ooh. So it's so different, but it's to protect. Okay, how many have an alarm system on your car? Okay, so it makes this loud screaming thing. Okay, if somebody touches it when they shouldn't touch it. Okay, why? We're protecting. We're guarding. Okay, if Satan, if you just smell him in the vicinity, the alarm should go off. Guys, we gotta get this. This is power. Guard it. You should have an alarm that goes off. I'll tell you, if you come into this building and this alarm is set, you might get past the door, you might get past the office, but if you get into the hallway, it is going off. I know because I have had that happen to me. Forgot to take the alarm off. Alarm should go off when your peace is going somewhere. And you make that choice. Do not let it. Do not let it. Hang on to it. Keep the peace, baby. Keep your mouth shut. Now, on the back of your bulletin is a place to write notes. That would be a good place to write, keep your mouth shut. That's how you keep the peace half the time. Just don't say it. Quit poking each other. I just saw somebody poking somebody and they were married. So I'm just saying. Keep the peace, okay? Don't say it. Keep our mouths shut. Be a peacemaker. Live in peace as far as it depends on you. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, live in peace with one another. Okay? Do it. Sow it. S-O-W. Sow it. Sow peace. James 3:17 through 18. Heavenly wisdom centers on purity, peace, gentleness, mercy, and other good fruits that we will produce by the Holy Spirit of God. The seed that flowers into righteousness will be planted in peace by those who embrace peace. Okay, I can't sow peace if I'm not embracing it, if it's not part of me. An apple tree can only produce apples. Okay? Yes? That's the seed. The seed of an apple tree can only produce apples. I can only produce peace if I am peace. If I have made myself available to the Spirit of the living God, I'm abiding in Him, then I will produce peace, and so will you. Peacemakers. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell your needs to God and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can even understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. I have a little illustration that I wanted to do. Sometimes visuals will stick with you longer. Don't raise your hand, but I'm just imagining that in this gathering this morning that a few of us have experienced broken relationships, broken dreams. Our health is broken down. We've had broken promises. Broken hearts, the future, our finances, they look bleak. But truth says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds it. Okay, that you could smile about that. Okay, good, good. I don't know what tomorrow holds to you, but I know who holds it. He is with me. He is with us. Let not your hearts be troubled? I want you to imagine this as our lives. This bottle, green actually is the color of peace, starts out great. Everything's wonderful, hunky-dory. But then life starts to happen. The things of life take over. The trials, the troubles, the tribulation, the broken things happen. Like this. So, here is life. I wanted to know if I have a volunteer this morning that would take off their shoes and walk across that glass. Anybody? Come on, aren't there any daredevils? Anybody? Anybody? You want to take off your peace and try and do this life without the peace of God, through brokenness, through heartache, through trials, through testing? Do you want to take off your peace and walk through life? How would you like to do it with peace? Oh yeah. See the difference? Okay. You have authority. That's why peace has a purpose, and his name is Jesus Christ. And with the shoes of peace on, you can do all things, anytime, anywhere, because peace is power. Okay. If you're trying to do life and you are fretting, worrying, stressed out, troubled, then I'm telling you, peace just went out the door. You better go find it. You better maintain it, hold on to it, pursue it, guard it with all of your heart, because you cannot do this without the peace of God that passes all understanding.